Interesting. Hey, John. Well, good morning. Glad you guys are here this morning. We are in the end of a four-week series that we've been doing called Heaven, Discovering the Mysteries of Paradise. If you haven't been with us, this is an awesome week to come as we kind of close out this series where we have been discovering the mysteries that are not so mysterious, because God's Word actually says a lot about heaven, about paradise, this place that we read about in Genesis, called the Garden of Eden, where in the very beginning, God created this incredible place called paradise. Paradise was destroyed. It was ruined by what Adam and Eve did, by their sin. So because of that, as human beings, we were cursed. Because of that, the earth that we know that we live in was cursed. But in Revelation, at the very end of Scripture, God says that paradise that was created in Eden will be redeemed, and that we will once again have paradise. So that's what this series has been about. And the goal of the series has been really, really simple. The goal is that I want us to be excited with wonder and imagination for the place that we get to live forever. That's my hope, is that this is a series that gets you excited. A series where you want to talk about, you want to think about, you want to be in conversation about heaven. It's 1,000 times better than Disneyland, is the way my dad used to put it. And as we start and as we've been through this series, I am reminded of the wonders and the beauties and the mysteries that we will have in paradise. And so I hope you have followed along with us this series. I hope that you have grabbed resources from the back. We've been taking this series through a book called Heaven, written by a gentleman named Randy Alcorn. I've also grabbed some stuff from a systematic theology book written by a gentleman named Wayne Grudem. Both of those resources are in the back. We've thinned out on these resources because many of you have grabbed these resources over the last 4 weeks. It's been really neat. One of the more popular ones has been, there's a 50-day heaven devotional in the back that I know a handful of you who have been going through. So there's pamphlets in the back that I think answer about 100 of the most popular questions on heaven, and it'll kind of give you brief biblical answers on those. But that's where this series is coming from. It's coming from a group of people who have studied heaven biblically way more than I have, and who have been able to take all the different aspects that are talked about of heaven and condense them into a really small 500-page book. And so we have just been hitting on a small portion of all the beautiful mysteries of heaven. We've broken it down over the last 4 weeks. If you have not heard the last 4 weeks, I'd encourage you to join our podcast. All of our sermons are podcasted. If you've heard them and you just want to be reminded or refreshed, feel free to join our podcast, and you can hear those and listen to those. And again, if this is your first time this morning, would love if you spent some time catching up. Well, hey, make sure you have your bulletins out this morning. You can turn to the notes section here. I want us to engage together this morning. This is yours. This is not mine. We do not collect your notes, nor do I need to look at them. This is a way for you to just engage, to listen, and to be able to retain, so that when we walk out these doors this morning, our lives can continue to start looking more and more like Jesus. So make sure that you are engaging this morning. That means you need a Bible and a pen. If you don't have one, raise your hand. One of our student leaders would love to bring you whatever you need this morning to help engage. Well, with that being said, I already kind of gave a brief review of what we've talked about so far. And so let me just hit on a few things. Week number one, we talked about realizing our destiny. This was the first week where we said we all will die, but we will all live forever somewhere. As Christians, The Bible gives an answer to that question and says, if you put your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross, you will get to live forever in heaven. The terminology that we've been using this series is the new heavens and the new earth, the final resting place. That when we die, scripture talks about an intermediate heaven that is better than earth, but it is where we go until God redeems heaven and earth. And then we have a final destiny to be on the new earth with God forever. That is our destiny. We all will die, but for those who put their faith in Christ, we live forever in heaven. Heaven is not our default destination. Unfortunately, because of the curse that we read about in Genesis chapter 3, hell is the default destination. But everyone can know for certain that they will be in heaven forever by putting their faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Week number 2, we talked about this world's not our home, or is it? We were mostly out of chapter 8 in the heaven book. If again, you've gotten that book and want to read more on these things, the world is not our home, or is it? Heaven, where we live forever, is referred to in scripture as the new earth. We can expect that heaven will be earthly. God doesn't refer to heaven as the new something or the new mystery or the new whatever. He refers to it as the new earth. Revelation 21 through 22 talks about heaven having streets and buildings and cities and countries and people and plants and food and ethnicities and culture. Revelation breaks apart a lot of the mysteries of heaven. It says that this earth that we live in, our bodies that we have that are cursed, will be redeemed. They'll be restored. And in heaven, in the new earth, we will have bodies. Bodies that have age to them. Now, we don't know what age we will be in heaven. Again, there was a lot of different theories on that that are kind of fun to think about. But at the end of the day, we don't know what age, but there'll be age in heaven. There will be relationships in heaven. We will have our five senses in heaven. We'll have our bodies in heaven. We will know and be able to remember things that happened on the earth. Heaven is not a start over. The new earth and the new heaven is a continuation. God's story continues to be written. And it is at that point where he will redeem and make new. So is this earth our home? Yes and no. It is, and then he will redeem it. And he calls it the new earth. So we talked about that in week 2. Week 3, what will it mean to see God? We're in chapter 17 of heaven. What will it mean to see God? This has been one of my favorite weeks of the series. Our ultimate longing as human beings is to see God. We will get to see God face to face through his son, Jesus. That God came down through his son, and that in heaven, one of the ways we get to see God face to face is through his son, Jesus. We'll get to walk with God. We'll get to talk with God. We'll get to see God. We'll get to embrace God. Imagine what that will be like to look him in the eyes, to wrap your arms around him, to cry in his chest, to then sit and have a meal with him, to go on a walk with him. These are not things we can't imagine. These are not things that we don't have to think of. These are things that scripture says we will get to do with God. It is our ultimate longing. It is why as Christians, we do not have to be afraid of death, but actually look forward to death. Death is the birth of eternity. death is the beginning of our eternal existence with God. So what does it mean to see God? It means that we get to be with him. There's no sun or moon on the new earth because God's radiance and light is what brings light to the new earth. How cool is that? Everything that we do that is good is from God. So in everything we do on the new earth, we get to enjoy and be with God. Well, I want to pray for us this morning, and then I want us to jump into our final week of this four-week series. Will you guys pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. God, thank you that we've been able to get excited and talk about heaven, the new heavens and the new earth. God, redeemed, restored, made new, that our bodies are redeemed. The curse is lifted from us and from the earth. God, it is unimaginable to see you face to face right now. We read in your scripture that people who saw you face to face would die. But God, we'll get to see you face to face when the curse is lifted. That we'll get to be with you. God, that we'll share a meal together. I can't even imagine it, but it gets me excited. Be with us as we finish out this series this morning. In your name, amen. Well, hey, raise your hand if you have heard about a game called Botashi. Anyone ever heard of the Japanese game called Botashi? Okay, let me explain it to you. It's very, very easy. It's a game that I like to call ruling the pole, okay? So kind of like, has anyone ever said, played like the game like King of the Hill or King of the Mountain or like, nobody's ever played that game? Yeah, you have, right? Where you're like on a raft or something and you push that person off and they try to get on and they push you off. Everybody with me, we've played that for sure. The boys in here who have brothers have played that on your bed. You can't get on my bed. You push them off and then they try to push you off. Awesome. Okay. This is called Botashi. This is a game in Japan. There's a pole in the middle. It's very simple. There's defense and there is offense. And I don't know actually which one is defense or which one are offense. These people, we'll call these people offense. Okay. They have a pole that a guy is sitting up on the top of. These people are going to run and try to get him off the pole and get the pole laying down on the ground. Okay? If they do that, they win. If these people can keep the pole up, these people lose. Simple enough, right? Get the guy off the pole. Okay, let's watch it. Yeah, you'll see another team, a blue team comes in here too. Now watch the outskirts of, they've got these jumper guys. See these guys over here? They've got these jumper guys that are gonna come in. So you gotta watch some of these really, yes. Oh, they kick people's heads, look at that. Look at this guy, watch him just knock some people in the dome. Okay, now do you see these guys trying to come in over the top? Look at that guy. Now there's another guy over here. Watch for a guy over here literally is going to fly. Now you got to get the pole down though, not just the person, in my understanding of it. Yeah. I've heard that people die. Like, I know, I get. Yeah, we're gonna play this on Wednesday night. Look at this guy! Did you see that? It's my favorite part of the video. All right, so I don't know. So I don't know how you win or how you lose at that game. But this week, we're not going to talk about ruling the pole. We're going to talk about ruling on the new earth. What does it look like to have reign and rule and dominion over the new earth. So we've talked about a lot of stuff this series. I just reviewed a ton of it. And we're going to end with, okay, now what does our lives look like? So we have bodies there. There's atmosphere there. It is a place. We get to see God. It's where we will live forever. For those who put faith in Jesus, get to go there. Awesome. But now, what does ruling the new earth look like? What do our lives look like? Are we shop owners? Are we landowners? Are we farmers? Do we just sit and sleep all day? Do we do whatever we want? Now, I'm not going to pretend that we're going to answer all of those questions this morning. Again, if you are interested in this series, please grab these resources in the back. As you can see, there is so much amazing reading on these things, and I'd encourage you to dive in even deeper. But I want us to close the series and hit on just a few basic things from Scripture that I hope is the last piece that gets us excited for heaven. Great. What does our life then there look like? Make sure you have your Bibles out. You're going to see we have a ton of places that we're going to go this morning through Scripture. And so I want us to follow along there. Here's the first point of this morning that I want us to understand. The new earth belongs to God. And now let me give you a little secret. It also belongs to us. But we're going to focus on that a little bit later in this morning's sermon. But before I get to the fact that it belongs to us as well, I want us to recognize the new earth belongs to God. Handful of places I want to go this morning. Turn to Psalm chapter 24. We're going to go to verse 1. I want us to be a place that interacts with God's word, one of our core values is that we would be people that are passionate with Scripture. So turn in your Bibles. If you don't know where a book is, feel free to use your table of contents. But I want us to be a place where we're interacting with God's Word. iPhone Bibles, electronic Bibles are great. But here on Sundays and Wednesdays, I want us to tangibly be in God's Word. Okay, Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Turn to Psalm 47, 2. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. Lastly, I want us to turn to Revelation 11, 15. Revelation is the last book in your Bible. Revelation 21 and 22 is where we have been a lot this series, but we have been in and out of the book of Revelation a lot. It's the last book of the Bible. It's the book that arguably talks the most about heaven. So it makes sense why we've spent a lot of time in Revelation this series. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." God rules the new earth. The new earth belongs to God. The first point of this morning. The new earth is the ultimate promised land that we read about in the Old Testament. It's the eternal holy land in which all God's people will dwell. And God's the king. The new earth belongs to God. Randy Alcorn in his book puts it this way, and I thought we'd read it together this morning. He says this, he says, "The kingdom of this world will actually become the kingdom of Christ." The kingdom of this world that we would all agree currently is under the curse and is not fully ruled by God. The kingdom of this world will actually become the kingdom of Christ, which we now refer to or will refer to as the new earth. God won't obliterate earthly kingdoms, but will transform or renew them into his own. And it's that new earthly kingdom joined then to God's heavenly kingdom over which he will reign forever and ever. The curse will be lifted. The earth and ourselves will be redeemed. And the new earth will belong to God. And it will belong to us. Sit with that for a second. Second thing I want us to look at this morning. We'll rule the new earth authoritatively with God. I want us to pay attention to the words that I chose to use here this morning. First, we'll rule. Now we're going to break apart a little bit. What exactly does that look like to rule? Okay? But we'll rule. Ruling means to have some sort of authority, some sort of like job description, some sort of purpose, some sort of process, right? So we'll rule. We'll have some sort of management in heaven. Again, we're going to break that down a little bit. Our rule will be on the new earth, the restored, redeemed earth that we currently live on that now belongs to God. It is fully perfect. It is why we can see God face to face because no sin exists any longer. And we will do so authoritatively with God. Authoritatively meaning not only will we rule, but we will get to rule with authority and with power. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. It's one of the last books, close to one of the last books of the Old Testament. Daniel 7:27. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. Couple of terminology here that we want to pay attention to. One, all rulers will obey him. We're being referred to as rulers. A ruler has authority and has power. However, we will obey him inside of that. Heaven is given over to his holy people. Those who put their faith in Christ are his people. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in our third point this morning. I want you now to turn to Revelation 2:26. Revelation 2:26 says this. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. We'll rule with God authoritatively. We'll get to rule on the new earth with authority and power with God. So how exactly might that play out, or why maybe is the better question we'll be able to do this? Well, here's the best way to put it that I think is really helpful. Point three. Oh, we've got one more passage. Let's go to Revelation 22:5 before we move on. Revelation 22, very last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 5. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. We get to reign. We get to rule. The Bible uses the word crown a lot. So we haven't gone to those passages this morning, but there are a lot of passages throughout Scripture that talk about us storing up treasures in heaven and that those will be added to our crowns. Crowns are the symbol of what? Power, authority, reigning, and ruling. So we somehow get to reign and rule with God, with authority in heaven forever. Okay, the third point that I want us to kind of sit with as we think about this morning is this. Ruling is our physical and eternal inheritance. Here's the first word I want us to focus on, and you can kind of underline this in your notes, inheritance, okay? So we get to rule both physically and eternally. So we get to rule forever in our physical form. And the reason we get to do that is because it is a part of our inheritance. After the final battle is won by Christ, we will rule the earth with him as co-heirs of his kingdom. It's our inheritance. Okay, let's look at the Bible first before I help us understand this even more. Go to Psalm 37, 18. I told you there's going to be a good handful of places we're going to go this morning. Get comfortable in your Bible. Get comfortable turning and finding places. Always feel free to read the context and go back. This is why we give you guys tabs and highlighters. I want you to be able to look at this stuff, make sure that it is being talked about right. Again, that's why the resources are in the back as well. Psalm 37, 18. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. Okay, that word inheritance again. Go to Luke chapter 16. We're now in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right before John. We're going to be in verses 10 and 11. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Okay, I want to talk about a handful of things here. Number one, think back to the Psalm 37 passage for a second. The Bible says that we're part of God's family. Now follow along with me here. When you are justified, which what is justification? Justification is that single point in time where you confess your sin, you put your faith in Christ, he comes in, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your heart, and you become a Christian, right? That is called justification. When that happens, we become a part of God's family, okay? We become his sons and his daughters. So just think about it from an earthly perspective. You have a dad, right? And you are either his son or his daughter. When justification happens, we become a part of God's family. Jesus talks about this in the Gospels. Somebody comes to Jesus and says, hey, your mother and brother are waiting outside for you. Does anyone know what Jesus' response to them was? No, my mother and brother is anyone who believes in my Father in heaven. He's saying, my family is a family of Christ. For those who put their faith in my Father and put their faith in me and what I'm doing, that is my brother and sister. So in the Christian church, we refer to it as your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ, right? Jesus talks a lot about this. God talks a lot about this. So when we become a part of God's family, we are his children, which makes us his co-heirs. And I'm going to explain that in a little bit. So what happens here? Well, ruling the universe now becomes part of our family business. So think of your dad. Your dad may be a doctor. Your dad may be an author. Your dad may whatever your dad is. Now, if you have a dad that's a business owner, oftentimes when mom or dad pass away, who does dad give the business to? His kids, right? That in his will or in his trust or whatever it is, that his sons and daughters are his co-heirs. that they have an inheritance of what their family owned. It's the same way here. Works the same way. We are part of God's family, which means we now have an inheritance in the family business. And guess what his family business is? Ruling and reigning the new earth. Our Father is God. God created the heavens and the earth. God is going to come back and redeem, restore, lift the curse that was put on the earth and put on people in Genesis chapter 3 through Adam and Eve. That when we put our faith in God, we become a part of his family. And as family members, we now inherit the family business. And so it's because of that inheritance that we get to rule and reign with God. God's the one who wants us to rule. So because of that, our response should be of gratitude and excitement. We don't have a dad who is the founder of Apple. And when he passes away, we now become the founder of Apple. Or think of the coolest company in the world or whatever you think is the greatest inheritance, right? Maybe you have a friend who passes away and their family's worth $1 billion, or they've got, you know, a whole storeroom of old-fashioned cars, or whatever would be a cool inheritance to you. As Christians, we get the coolest inheritance. We get to inherit and we get to co-rule the new earth with God. Now, it says in one of the passages we read earlier that we also obey him and he has authority. It belongs to him. But because he's our Father, we get to rule with him. And I think we miss this sometimes where we see the language in the Bible about where sons and daughters, were brothers and sisters, were brought in the family. The Bible is all about family language, right? The church, Christians, we are a family. We are united. We love each other. We look out for each other. What one part of the body does to the other affects everyone else. It talks about the body of Christ. And so we sometimes miss or just don't think about the fact of what else that means. Well, it also means that we then get to inherit God's things. We get to inherit the new heavens and the new earth with God. I don't know about you, but that is pretty exciting. The Luke 16 passage that we talked about talks about this idea of being faithful to things here on earth. If we serve faithfully on the present earth, God will give us permanent management positions on the new earth. I think this is important, and this is where I want to end this morning, because I want to bring this home and make this practical to us. As we look at closing out this series, if you had the misconception, which I had for a long time, and I would assume a handful of us had coming into this series, that heaven is a start over, heaven is a do-over. It's not. We're going to remember earth. We are going to remember, and heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, is going to be earthly. The Bible makes that clear. Now, there's some subjection of what exactly that looks like, but not as much as we think. There's going to be streets, there's going to be cities, there's going to be buildings, there's going to be people. All of those things exist. And we sometimes think, or if you're like me, I thought that everything kind of starts over, that God kind of scraps it all and says, okay, we're going to do something new and it might not even look like earth and it's just going to be bodies floating around or spirits floating around. That's not the case. That's not the case. What happens is this earth becomes redeemed and becomes new. So here's why this is important. Why this is important is because what we do here on earth matters. What we do here matters. Let's read the Luke 16 passage again, because this is a great place for us to kind of leave with this morning. So this is verse 10 and 11. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Very simple example. It's the weekend. You want to go ice skating. I don't know why I just thought of ice skating. You want to go ice skating. Okay, it's holiday seasons. There's a little ice skating rink at the Irvine Spectrum. Mom and dad give you $40. Okay, here's $40. You got to spend it on ice skating and dinner there. I trust that you're not lying to use that money for something else. And I need you to bring me back change. Now, how many of your parents say, you got to bring me back change? Anyone's parents ever told them that before? Okay. How often of the time do you not bring them back change? Or you have change, but you're only going to give it to them if they ask for it back, right? And you like put it in your pocket and you're like, mom's never going to ask for it back, right? So you're given $40. You go to the Irvine Spectrum. You do your ice skating. Ice skating, let's say, costs you $20. You get ready to go to dinner. You're going to do dinner at Ruby's. There's a handful of things on the menu. One of the things you want is this really nice big steak, but it's like $22, and so it's going to put you over, which means you're not going to bring change back. She's like, you know what? I could do the fish and chips. Fish and chips are good too. I could put some lemon on top of them. Fish is healthy for you. They say it's healthier than steak. Great. I'm going to get that. That's only $12 after tax and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to have $4 back for mom. You get home that night, you said, hey, I went ice skating, it was so much fun, look at this great selfie I took with this cute boy or cute girl. Then we went to Ruby's and I got the fish and chips, and mom, here's $4 back. Were you faithful and trustworthy with that $40 and your mom's instructions? Yeah. Yeah, right? God keeps it very simple. He says, if you can be trusted with something little, we're not talking about $1 million big business here that mom and dad are telling you to run yet. We're saying they're giving you $40 and saying, hey, can I trust you with this? Now, maybe next week or maybe a year later, they see that they can trust you with these little things. And now it gets to Christmas time and they want to give you $1,000 gift. But that gift is, you've got to spend it on something responsible. You need to give a portion of it away to maybe a good charity. I've heard of families doing this where they say, hey, here's Christmas money, but I also want you to give a portion of it to a charity. Parents are trying to teach you how to, you know, give and serve and things like that, right? And then mom and dad see that you're faithful with that. They can trust you with now $1,000. They can trust you to give a portion of that away. And then maybe at 22, dad says, hey, I'm going to give you $200,000 to go to college. This has got to pay for your college. You're going to graduate college debt free. I need you to take at least 16 units a quarter to stay as a full-time student. I need you to graduate with good grades. I need you to not get on academic probation. You study what you want. You pick something you're passionate about. And 4 years later, you were trusted with that. You were faithful to that. You took 16 credits. You tried your hardest. You went to the library. You got good grades. And then you graduated with a really great degree from the University of Oregon or some other smaller, stinkier school. I mean, they're okay too, but. And now dad says, okay, awesome. Trusted him with $40, trusted him with his Christmas money. Man, this was he was really faithful to the college education that his mom and I have been saving for 18 years for, and we paid for it, and it was a lot of money. And man, he was really faithful and trustworthy with that. Okay, well now, I want you to come and I want you to work for me. And I'm going to give you some management over kind of the new hires that we bring in. And you do that for a couple years and you're trustworthy. You guys get the example of where I'm going here? This is what Jesus is talking about. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If we haven't been able to be trusted with what God has given us here, our gifts, our talents, our finances, our abilities, our responsibilities, then why would we be trusted with riches and ruling and big things in heaven? Why, if you can't take $40 and do what your parents are telling you to do with it, would they give you $1,000? And if you can't do it with $1,000, why are they going to send and pay $200,000 for you to go to college that most likely you'll waste because you didn't even know how to be responsible over one class or over one small amount of money or wherever you want to take that analogy? And so for us, as we end this series, I want us to make the connection that what gets us to heaven is putting our faith in Jesus Christ. However, as we hear all throughout Scripture, this does not mean that works are void. And sometimes we say, well, works don't get us into heaven. We're right. But works are a huge part of the Christian faith. The Bible says that without works, your faith is dead. That the way you can tell who believes in Christ are those whose lives have works that show their faith in Christ. That our lives, what we do here, what we're trusted with here, shares a story of whose we are. Does our choices point to God or point to something else? Now, what's awesome is I'll answer part of that question for us. Our choices don't always point to God. We're all broken. We're all ding-dong heads sometimes. We all are a part of the curse. And so not all of our choices always lead there. But God redeemed us through his son Jesus. That we put our faith in him, he sees us as perfect and clean and new. It's why we get to spend eternity with him. But that doesn't mean that here on earth doesn't matter. We don't start over in heaven. It's a continuation. Scripture says to store up treasures in heaven. That the things we do here on earth is going to store up treasures in heaven. Now, what does that look like? I don't know. I think there's a lot of things we can think about and wonder about, but ultimately we don't know. It could look like that we're going to rule over God's creation, okay? So part of the ruling is going to be ruling over his creation, not just over people, but it could be perhaps that some of us will maybe care for forests, okay? It could be perhaps that God will offer us choices of where we might want to serve. That maybe that for whatever reason, the more that you are trusted with here on earth, maybe you get to oversee more land in heaven. Maybe you have a city that you oversee. Maybe I have no idea how it works, but there's all sorts of things we can think of and assume and imagine what it might look like. What we do know, though, is that those he can trust with little, he can trust with much. And why would he trust the ultimate riches to those who couldn't be trusted with little here on earth? We also know that we store up on earth our treasures in heaven. So what does that play out like? Does that have to do with our ruling? Does that mean that we get to rule over bigger portions of the land? I have no idea. But it's important for us to recognize that what we do here now matters. It matters. And it will ultimately matter in new heavens and new earth. Now, here's the cool thing. Even if you put your faith in Christ at the very last minute, and maybe you didn't do a ton of works here, what we do know is that there's no pain, there's no suffering, that heaven is this beautiful, amazing place. So no matter what those treasures look like in heaven, it is a place with no pain and no suffering. But it's important for us to recognize that what we are trusted with here matters. So what does that look like for you in your life? What things are you being trusted with right now? Maybe it's money, maybe it's an education. Well, I won't say maybe it's an education, I'll say it is an education. You all right now are being trusted with your education. Education is so huge and important, and we miss it sometimes. This doesn't mean you have to be straight A students. It means that you need to try, you need to care. That's something that's entrusted to you. Maybe it's your younger siblings. Maybe your parents trust you to babysit them one night a week on date night. Maybe it's an allowance. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's a late curfew. Whatever that might look like, you're trusted with certain things. And for a lot of us at our age, we're trusted with little things, and then we get more and more responsibility. And so I want you to think about this morning, what are you entrusted to? What are you trusted with? And are you being faithful to those things? Are you lying about them? Are you cheating on your tests? Are you putting off homework? What might that look like for you this morning? The thought I want to leave us with this morning for this week as we kind of close out this series, and we will be doing small groups in two Wednesdays on week 3 and 4. So we'll still have some time to discuss this. Here's the thought I want to leave you with. God loves the world he created, and he'll restore it as part of his grand plan for humanity's redemption. God is going to redeem this place, and I hope that more than anything else, you leave this series excited that death is the birth of eternity, and heaven will be 1,000 times better than anything we could ever imagine. Perfect relationships, perfect outdoors, perfect atmosphere, perfect relationship with God. Heavenly Father, God, thank you that we've been able to dive in. And God, thank you that you give us so much information. Lord, that as we look at kind of the mysteries of paradise, that, Lord, as I have just taken a little bit over the last month and read through kind of this commentary on heaven that has taken apart what feels like the hundreds of passages that talk about your final resting place for us. God, I'm so grateful that you tell us so much about heaven. I'm grateful for the language you use. I'm grateful for being able to get back to paradise. I'm grateful that paradise being lost in Genesis will be restored, as you tell us in Revelation. We don't have to be afraid of death. Death is the birth of eternity. And in eternity, we get to rule with you. We get to reign with you. We get treasures in heaven, whatever that looks like. We get to be with those we love. And we get to love you through everything that is good. So God, thank you for heaven. Thank you for a hope. Lord, would we simply leave this series having hope in heaven? Times where this world is hard and we feel like we were just dealt a bad card. Would we recognize that's a part of the curse? But that's not going to be forever. There will be a time where you redeem this earth, that the earth will become your new earth that belongs to you. And as your sons and daughters, we get to inherit that. We get to be a part of that. You care enough to make us a part of that inheritance because we are your sons and daughters. I'm really excited. Excited to get to sit and walk with you. God, I have no idea what my reaction is going to be when I see you face to face for the first time. God, thinking about it just brings me to tears. God, would we imagine what that time is going to be like? Will we imagine and wonder what it's going to be like to go on a walk on the beach in heaven? What it's going to be like to be in the city of the New Jerusalem, to see the city walls and the 12 gates? What it's going to be like to be outside of the city in the countryside? God, thank you for sending your son down to die on the cross. God, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for giving us this inheritance of eternal life on the new heavens and the new earth.